Hey everyone, ready for a wild ride? We're diving deep into the OAD 2024 report, you know, that yearly look at digital attacks in Italy.
And let me tell you, this year's report is a real eye-opener. It's not just about numbers, it's about real-world chaos.
Chaos. I like the sound of that. Give me the juicy details.
Well, one that jumps out is this manufacturing plant right there in Lombardy. They got hit by a ransomware attack, had to slam the brakes on production for a whole week. Cost them millions.
See, that's what I'm talking about, real-world impact. Now, the report keeps mentioning systemic cyber insecurity. What's the deal with that?
Right. It's a pretty stark warning, really. They're saying that over the past 17 years, attacks on businesses, big or small, have become the norm in Italy, not just a one-off thing anymore.
So not just about swiping data or cash, then. It sounds like these attacks are getting more, well, aggressive. This whole thing with operational technology or OT systems being vulnerable, that's kind of scary. We're talking about the systems running our power grids, hospitals, the stuff that keeps the lights on.
Exactly. And what's really interesting here is the why. It's not always about the money, unlike those web attacks we hear about. With OT, it's often sabotage. Pure and simple. Someone wanting to cause havoc.
A digital wrench in the gears. Okay, so the stakes are high, but there's a glimmer of hope, right? The report mentions that at least awareness is on the rise.
Definitely seeing that. More and more businesses are finally realizing that cybersecurity isn't optional anymore. They're investing in security measures, coming up with disaster recovery plans.
Mm-hmm.
Better late than never, right?
About time. So let's dig into the nitty-gritty. Web applications and websites seem to be prime targets. The report keeps mentioning this OWASP Top 10. What's that all about?
Think of it as a hacker's cheat sheet. The OWASP Top 10 lists the biggest weaknesses in web applications. It's like knowing your enemy's playbook.
Knowledge is power, right. And the report gets really specific about how these weaknesses are being used. We're talking everything from data breaches to ransomware attacks that can cripple a business.
There was this one case, really stuck with me. Phishing campaign targeting a big Italian bank. Attackers sent out these emails, so convincing. Tricked employees into giving up their logins. Boom, they're inside, accessing all this sensitive customer data.
See, that's what freaks me out, how convincing these scams are getting. And it's not just some kid in their basement anymore, right? Organized crime, even state-sponsored hackers, the report mentions it all. It's like a digital Wild West out there.
It really is. And the tactics are getting sneakier. Ever heard of living off the land attacks? That's where they use tools already on your system, totally legit stuff, to launch the attack.
So they're hiding in plain sight. Creepy. How can you even fight that?
It's tough. Makes them much harder to spot. And then there are fileless attacks. No malware files for your antivirus to detect. They just exploit normal processes on your system, like ghosts in the machine.
Okay, my head's spinning a bit. So how do businesses even stand a chance against these phantom attackers? The report mentions something called security operation centers, or SOCs. What are those?
SOCs are becoming essential. Picture a 247 command center, staffed with cyber experts, watching for any suspicious activity on the network, ready to react if something happens.
So like a digital SWAT team.
Exactly. And then there are SIEM systems, that's security information and event management, gathering mountains of data from across the network, analyzing it all to spot any anomalies.
So a super-powered security camera, but for your entire network? That's intense.
They're getting really good at spotting the smallest signs of trouble, like unusual logins or weird data transfers.
Technology is amazing, but what about the human factor? We all make mistakes, right?
You're hitting on a crucial point. The report really emphasizes that technology is only part of the solution. We need humans in the loop.
Makes sense. We've all clicked on a link we shouldn't have, right?
Exactly. That's why training and awareness for employees is so important. They need to be vigilant, know how to spot a scam. It's not enough to just tell them once. They need refreshers, updates to stay ahead of the bad guys.
Like learning a language, you got to keep practicing. So it's a combo, right?
Yeah.
Like tech in place and people who know how to use it safely.
Exactly. It's a partnership.
Speaking of partnerships, the report talks about the Polizia Postale. They're the ones on the front lines of this digital battleground, right?
Absolutely. They're crucial. They're working tirelessly to prevent and investigate cybercrime here in Italy, partnering with businesses, raising awareness, chasing down the bad guys, the whole nine yards.
Reassuring to know they've got our backs. But this whole social engineering thing the report mentions, that sounds scary. What is it exactly?
It's all about manipulating people, playing on their psychology, not hacking computers. Think phishing emails, but way more sophisticated.
So like tricking someone into revealing company secrets.
Exactly. There was this case, attackers pretended to be a high-ranking exec at a company, used social engineering to convince an employee to send a bunch of cash to a fake account, just by using the right words, sounding all official.
That's devious. How do you even defend against that?
Awareness is key. Companies need to train their people to be wary, double-check everything, not be afraid to ask questions. If something feels off, it probably is.
Trust your gut. So awareness is huge, but what about ransomware? The report paints a pretty bleak picture there. It's not going away anytime soon, is it?
No, it's a growing threat for sure. And it's getting harder to fight. The ransomware itself is becoming more advanced, harder to detect, and the criminals behind it are getting bolder.
So what can companies do? It all feels a bit overwhelming.
It does. But the report makes it clear you need a multi-pronged approach. Think of it like this. You got to prevent the attack in the first place and have a solid plan for if you do get hit.
Double the protection. Okay, I'm following. So prevention first. What does that look like?
Backups, backups, backups. I can't stress this enough. If you get hit by ransomware, your backups are your lifeline. You can restore your data, tell those criminals to take a hike. It's like an insurance policy for your information.
Smart. What else?
Keep everything up to date. Your software, operating systems, security tools, everything. Attackers love exploiting known vulnerabilities in outdated software. Patching those holes is essential.
Like locking your doors. Basic but important.
Precisely. And don't underestimate the human element here. Employees need to know about ransomware, how it spreads, how to avoid it. It's all about creating those layers of defense.
Right, like a digital fortress. Strong walls and a vigilant guard.
Exactly. And remember, the threat landscape is constantly shifting. New threats emerge all the time. So this training, it's not a one-time thing. It's got to be ongoing.
Always stay sharp. So to recap, be aware of the threats, train your people, and have rock-solid backups. Anything else we should flag before we move on?
One more thing, and this is a biggie. Data security. We're not just talking about strong passwords here. The report goes way deeper.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Give me the deep dive on data security.
It all boils down to this. Encryption is king. Encrypt your data, whether it's traveling over the internet or just sitting on your servers. Think of it like this. You're putting that data in a safe.
So even if someone breaks in, they can't get to the good stuff.
Exactly. The report also talks about these things called DLP solutions, data loss prevention. Think of it like a security guard for your data, making sure no one walks off with it, intentionally or accidentally.
So like an alarm system, but for information.
Precisely. And it's not just about fancy tech either. It's about having the right policies in place, making sure everyone knows how to handle sensitive information. It's about creating a culture of security.
This is all incredibly insightful. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface here.
We've definitely got our work cut out for us.
Indeed. But let's take a breather here and dive into the specifics of these data security measures like DLP and encryption in our next installment. This is a topic that deserves its own dedicated deep dive.
Agreed. We've only just begun to peel back the layers of the onion.
Until next time, stay safe out there in the digital Wild West. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're picking up right where we left off, digging into the OAD 2024 report and all things data security. Last time we were talking about keeping that sensitive information locked down tight. What else you got for me?
It's like this. Data, it's the heart and soul of so many businesses these days, right? Mm-hmm. Protecting it is absolutely mission critical. And this report, it really hammers home that point. It's not just about throwing some tech solutions at the problem. It's about a whole framework, a way of thinking about data security.
Okay, so paint me a picture. What does that look like? I saw this term in the report, shared responsibility model. Something about cloud computing, that seems relevant, with everyone and their grandma using the cloud these days.
Absolutely. The cloud has changed the game, but it's got its own set of security headaches, right? And this shared responsibility thing, it's key to understanding how it all works. Basically, it means both the cloud company and the customer, they've got skin in the game. They're both responsible for security.
So like sharing an apartment, landlord's got to keep the building safe, but I'm responsible for my own stuff, locking my door, that kind of thing.
Perfect analogy. The cloud provider, they handle security for the whole infrastructure, the nuts and bolts. But the customer, you're in charge of your own data and applications sitting on that platform. It's a team effort.
Gotcha. So what's the playbook then? What practical tips does the report give for locking down those cloud environments?
First things first, choose your cloud provider wisely. Don't just go for the cheapest or the one with the catchiest jingle. Do your homework, check out their security practices, make sure they're serious about this stuff.
Due diligence, like choosing a bank, right?
Right.
You want your money to be safe.
Exactly. Now, once you're in the cloud, lock it down. Strong access controls only give access to those who absolutely need it. Need-to-know basis keeps things much tighter.
Smaller the target, the harder to hit.
Bingo. And of course, encryption. Always encryption. Whether that data's moving around or just chilling on a server. Lock it up tight.
Okay, got it. Access controls, encryption. What about backups? We were talking about those earlier. They've got to be even more crucial in the cloud, right?
You're preaching to the choir. Backups are non-negotiable. The report, it really stresses this. Having a solid backup and recovery plan, what does that mean? Regular backups, duh, but also storing them somewhere else, just in case. And testing them. Make sure they actually work when you need them.
Like an escape route, right? Don't wait for the fire alarm to figure out it's blocked.
Exactly. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. The report, it digs into this whole other level of security, these DLP solutions we talked about before.
Refresh my memory, DLP. That's like...
Imagine a super smart security system, but for your data. It's all about catching sensitive data before it walks out the door, whether someone's trying to sneak it out or it's an honest mistake.
So like a digital bouncer at the door checking for VIP passes.
You got it. They can scan emails, block uploads to dodgy cloud services, even shut down those sneaky USB transfers. It's pretty impressive stuff.
Sounds powerful. What kind of companies need this DLP firepower?
Anyone with data that's, you know, a really big deal. Think healthcare with all those medical records, financial institutions, government agencies with top secret stuff. A data breach for them. Catastrophic.
Yeah, the stakes are high. So we've got DLP, encryption, access controls. That's a lot to keep track of. Feels like juggling chainsaws.
It can be a handful, for sure. But here's the thing. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, right? Every organization's different with its own risks, its own data sensitivities, and those pesky compliance rules.
Right. Got to find that balance between security and, you know, actually getting work done.
Exactly. You don't want to lock everything down so tight that people can't even breathe.
Yeah.
And that's where the human factor comes in again.
We're back to the people. It always comes back to that, doesn't it?
It always does. Technology's great, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it's only as good as the people behind the wheel.
So how do you build that security-first culture? It's a bit of a fuzzy concept.
It's about making security everyone's job, not just the IT department's headache. Start with education. Make people aware of why data security matters, why their role is so important.
Because one wrong click on one phishing email, boom, game over.
You got it. And the training, it can't just be a snooze fest PowerPoint presentation once a year, check the box. Make it engaging, hands-on, relevant to what they actually do every day.
So like those flight simulator things, but for cybersecurity.
Exactly. Give them realistic scenarios, test their knowledge, make it fun. And mix up the delivery. Some online modules, maybe a workshop, videos, even games. Keep it fresh.
Catering to all those learning styles. And it's got to be ongoing, right? Like you said, the bad guys aren't standing still.
Constantly evolving, so we got to keep pace. Regular refreshers, updates on new threats, it all adds up. And don't underestimate the power of, you know, giving props where props are due. Yeah. Recognize those employees who are security superstars.
A little positive reinforcement never hurt.
Exactly. Make it a company value, something everyone takes pride in. That's how you build that culture.
This all makes sense, but let's get real for a second. The report, it acknowledges that not every company has deep pockets, especially those smaller businesses. They can't afford all the bells and whistles.
Right, and the report addresses that head on. It's not about having the most expensive security system. It's about doing what you can with what you have. Every little bit helps.
Work smarter, not just harder. Love it.
For example, even a small business. Maybe they can't afford a fancy DLP solution, but they can still implement those basic data security controls. Mm-hmm. Strong passwords, encryption, limiting access to sensitive stuff.
Right, the essentials.
And remember, security isn't a destination. It's a journey, an ongoing process. You assess the risks, put controls in place, and keep getting better step by step.
Continuous improvement. Okay, I can get behind that. So we've covered a lot about data security, the shared responsibility in the cloud, encryption, backups, DLP, building a security-minded culture. What other nuggets of wisdom did you glean from the report as you went through it?
Well, there's a whole section on this concept of cyber resilience, which really resonated with me. It's not enough to just try and block every attack, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be able to take a punch, bounce back, keep moving forward.
Love the analogy. So cyber resilience, it's about rolling with the punches, coming out stronger.
Exactly. It's about having the ability to see the punches coming, withstand them, recover quickly, and learn from the experience so you're even more resilient the next time around. It's about agility.
Okay, I like it. Break it down for me. What are the building blocks of this cyber resilience thing?
The report lays out four main pillars: anticipate, withstand, recover, and adapt.
Okay, I'm with you so far. Anticipation, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? Being prepared for whatever curveballs come your way.
Exactly. It's about being proactive, identifying those potential threats, vulnerabilities, understanding the risks, and taking steps to mitigate them before they blow up in your face.
So don't just react when something happens. Be proactive and try to stay one step ahead.
You got it. Now, the second pillar, withstand. That's about minimizing the damage if you do get hit. Because let's be real, sometimes those punches land.
Damage control, right? Like having a good lawyer on retainer, just in case.
In a way, yeah. It's about having robust security measures in place to detect and block those attacks, but also having a plan for what to do when those defenses fail.
So a plan B, gotta have a plan B.
Always have a plan B. Now, the third pillar, recovery. That's all about bouncing back quickly.
Getting back on your feet, shaking it off.
Exactly. And this is where those backups come in again. Having a solid data recovery plan is essential. But it's more than just that. It's also about having a communication plan.
Right, because a cyber attack, it can really damage a company's reputation.
Absolutely. You need to be prepared to communicate clearly and transparently with your stakeholders, your customers, your employees.
Transparency is key. Okay, so we've got anticipate, withstand, recover. What was that last one again?
Adapt. And this one's all about learning from your experiences, coming out stronger on the other side.
So after the dust settles, you do a post-mortem, figure out what worked, what didn't, and adjust your strategy accordingly.
Exactly. You review what happened, identify any lessons learned, and update your security controls and incident response plans. It's a continuous cycle of improvement.
Always be learning, always be improving. Makes sense. But let's be real, cyber attacks, they're not just an inconvenience, they can really hurt a company's bottom line.
You're right. The report, it lays out the financial cost of these attacks, and it's not pretty. We're talking about the obvious stuff like recovering stolen data, fixing damaged systems, but it goes deeper than that.
Right, like the hit to your reputation, the legal fees, lost business because customers don't trust you anymore. That stuff's hard to put a price tag on.
Exactly. And for smaller companies, those costs can be backbreaking. The report, it even goes as far as saying that for some organizations, a cyber attack can be an existential threat, like lights out, game over.
Wow, that's sobering. So it's not just about protecting data, it's about protecting the entire business.
100%. The report, it encourages companies to view cybersecurity as an investment, not an expense.
Because a stitch in time saves nine, right?
Precisely. Investing in cybersecurity is investing in the long-term health of your business.
Makes sense. Now, I know we've talked about insurance before, but what about cyber insurance specifically? Is that something companies should be looking into?
It's definitely worth considering, but the report is clear. Cyber insurance, it's not a magic bullet. It's not a free pass to skimp on security.
So it's not a get out of jail free card.
Nope. Most cyber insurance policies have a whole bunch of requirements you have to meet to be covered. And even if you are covered, the claims process, it can be a whole other headache.
So, best case scenario, you never have to use it, right?
Exactly. Focus on prevention, on building a strong security posture. Insurance, it's just another layer of protection.
Like a safety net. Hopefully, you never have to use it, but it's good to have it there. Now, the report. It talks about this cybersecurity skills gap, which I've definitely heard whispers about. What's the deal with that? Are we running out of cyber warriors?
It's a real problem, and it's only getting worse. The demand for skilled cybersecurity professionals, it's skyrocketing, but there just aren't enough qualified people to fill those roles.
So it's a job seeker's market.
Big time.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get better anytime soon. As the threat landscape gets more complex, the demand for skilled professionals is only going to increase.
So what's the solution? How do we close this gap?
Well, the report, it suggests a multi-pronged approach, but it starts with education. We need to get young people excited about cybersecurity as a career path. It's a fascinating field with incredible opportunities.
It's like being a digital detective, right?
Yeah.
Solving puzzles, catching bad guys.
Exactly. But we also need to make cybersecurity education more accessible. Not everyone can afford a four-year degree, so we need to explore other options like certifications, boot camps, apprenticeships.
Right, different paths to the same destination.
Exactly. And the education, it can't just stop after graduation. The cybersecurity landscape is constantly changing. So professionals, they need to be lifelong learners,
Yeah.
always updating their skills, staying ahead of the curve.
So it's not a one and done, it's a constant evolution.
Precisely. The report, it also stresses the importance of collaboration between industry, government, and academia. This isn't a problem that any one group can solve on their own.
It's going to take a village.
Exactly. We need to work together to develop innovative solutions to this global challenge.
Collaboration is key. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Data security, cyber resilience, the cybersecurity skills gap. What other key takeaways from the report should we make sure to hit before we move on?
Well, one thing that really stood out to me is how much the threat landscape is evolving. The bad guys, they're not slowing down.
Always upping their game, right?
Exactly. We're not talking about those lone wolf hackers in their basements anymore. These are sophisticated, well-funded, organized cyber criminal groups.
They're practically businesses themselves.
And that's exactly what they are, with their own R&D departments, their own marketing teams, their own customer support channels.
It's kind of terrifying when you think about it.
It is. And they're constantly innovating, always looking for new ways to exploit vulnerabilities and evade detection. The report, it really stresses the importance of staying ahead of the curve, of constantly adapting your security posture.
So you can't just rest on your laurels. You got to stay vigilant, proactive.
Exactly. And one of the ways they're doing that is through automation. They're using automation to launch attacks at a scale and speed that's really hard to combat.
So it's becoming a battle of the bots.
In a way, yes. But the good news is automation can be a powerful tool for the good guys, too.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Exactly. By leveraging automation, security teams can automate those routine tasks, freeing up their time to focus on more strategic initiatives.
Work smarter, not harder. I like it.
Precisely. The report, it encourages organizations to explore how they can use automation to enhance their security posture.
So embrace the robots, but use them for good.
Exactly. Now, switching gears a bit, the report also dives into something that often gets overlooked in cybersecurity discussions. Communication.
Communication? You mean like talking to each other?
Well, yes, but it's more than that. It's about being able to effectively communicate about cybersecurity with a variety of stakeholders, both inside and outside the organization.
So not just the IT guys talking to themselves in their own language.
Exactly. You have to be able to communicate with senior management, with the board of directors, with employees at all levels, with customers, with partners.
So it's about tailoring your message to your audience.
Exactly. The report, it gives some really practical advice on how to do that, like using plain language, avoiding technical jargon, providing concrete examples, and focusing on the business impact of cybersecurity risks.
Make it relatable, make it relevant.
Exactly. And it's not just about talking, it's about listening too. You need to understand the concerns of your stakeholders and address them.
Communication is a two-way street. Okay, so we've talked about the evolving threat landscape, the importance of automation, the skills gap, the need for effective communication. Anything else we should touch on before we wrap up this section?
Yeah, there's one more thing I wanted to mention. The report, it has a whole section on cybersecurity regulations, which could be a bit of a minefield.
Oh, yeah, those. Always a fun time.
Right. But the report, it does a really good job of breaking it all down, explaining the key regulations that organizations need to be aware of.
Like the GDPR, that's the big one, right?
Exactly. The General Data Protection Regulation, it's all about protecting the personal data of individuals in the EU. And then there's the NIS directive, which is aimed at improving the overall cybersecurity of organizations across the EU.
Right, right. I vaguely remember hearing about that one.
The key takeaway here is that compliance with these regulations, it's not just about avoiding fines. It's about implementing security measures that make sense for your organization and that actually help to protect your data.
So it's not just about checking boxes. It's about actually doing the right thing.
Exactly. And the report, it provides practical guidance on how to do that. How to achieve and maintain compliance.
Well, that's reassuring. I was starting to get a little overwhelmed there for a second.
It's definitely a lot to take in, but the report does a good job of breaking it down into manageable chunks.
That's good to hear. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground on regulations. What else is on your mind?
Well, this next part is pretty cool. It's about emerging technologies in cybersecurity.
Oh, like AI and stuff.
Exactly. Artificial intelligence, blockchain, quantum computing, the Internet of Things, all these technologies, they have the potential to revolutionize cybersecurity.
It's exciting, but also a little bit scary, right? Like, are the robots going to take over?
It's a double-edged sword, that's for sure. These technologies, they can be used for good or for evil. On the one hand, they can be used to enhance security defenses, to automate tasks, to analyze vast amounts of data.
But on the other hand, the bad guys can use them too.
Exactly. So it's an arms race, a constant game of cat and mouse.
So what's the takeaway for businesses? Should they be investing in these technologies?
The report, it encourages organizations to stay informed about these technologies, to explore how they can be used to improve security. But it also stresses the importance of careful consideration.
So don't just jump on the bandwagon blindly.
Exactly. You need to weigh the risks and benefits before you implement any new technology.
Makes sense. Okay, so we've talked about emerging technologies. What else?
Well, this next one might seem a little obvious, but it's often overlooked. Physical security.
You mean like locks on doors and security cameras?
Exactly. It's easy to get caught up in the digital world and forget about the physical world.
Right, because a cyber attack, it doesn't always start with a computer, right?
Exactly. Someone could gain access to your network by tailgating an employee through a secure door or by plugging an infected USB drive into a computer.
So you're saying don't forget about the basics.
Exactly. The report, it stresses the importance of having strong physical security controls in place. Things like access control systems, surveillance cameras, security guards, visitor management procedures.
Right, all that good stuff.
And it's not just about having these measures in place. It's about making sure they're effective and that they're aligned with your cybersecurity measures.
So no point having a state-of-the-art cybersecurity system if you're leaving the server room unlocked.
Exactly. The report, it encourages organizations to conduct regular physical security assessments to identify and mitigate any vulnerabilities.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of serious stuff today. Anything a bit lighter before we wrap up?
Actually, yes. The report, it has a whole section on the importance of humor in cybersecurity.
Humor? Really?
I know, it seems a bit strange, right? But the report, it argues that humor can be a powerful tool for raising awareness about cybersecurity, for building a strong security culture, and for coping with the stress of working in cybersecurity.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, for starters, humor can make security awareness training more engaging and memorable. Instead of just bombarding employees with dry technical information, you can use humor to make the training more relatable and fun.
So like those cheesy training videos with the bad acting and the over-the-top scenarios?
Exactly. But it's not just about making people laugh. Humor can also be a great way to break down barriers and build relationships.
So it's about making cybersecurity less intimidating and more approachable.
Exactly. And let's not forget the stress-relieving benefits of humor.
Yeah, cybersecurity, it's not exactly known for being a barrel of laughs.
It's not. It can be a very demanding and stressful job, so it's important to find ways to blow off steam.
Humor is the best medicine, as they say.
Okay,
so humor, check. What else is on our list?
Well, the report also dives into the critical role of leadership in cybersecurity. And it's not just about having a great CISO, although that's obviously important.
Right, because cybersecurity, it's not just an IT issue, it's a business issue.
Exactly. And that means it needs to be a priority for everyone from the top down.
So what does good leadership in cybersecurity look like?
Well, the report, it highlights several key qualities: vision, communication, accountability, and empowerment.
So leaders need to have a clear vision for cybersecurity. They need to be able to communicate that vision effectively. They need to hold people accountable, and they need to empower their employees to make smart decisions.
Exactly. And it's not enough to just talk the talk. Leaders need to walk the walk, too. They need to set a good example.
So no more writing passwords on sticky notes and sticking them to their monitors.
Exactly. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about leadership, humor, emerging technologies, regulations, physical security.
Yeah.
What else? Well, the report also spends a significant amount of time discussing the human element in cybersecurity.
Right, because even with the best technology in the world, humans are often the weakest link.
Sadly, that's often the case. And attackers know that. They're very good at exploiting human psychology.
So it's about understanding how attackers think, how they manipulate people.
Exactly. For example, social engineering attacks, they often prey on human emotions, like fear, urgency, curiosity.
So like those phishing emails that say your account's been compromised and you need to act now.
Exactly. They created a sense of urgency and panic, hoping you'll click the link without thinking.
So how do you combat that?
Awareness training is key. Teach people how to spot those red flags, how to verify information before they click on a link or open an attachment.
So don't just click on everything. Got it. What else about the human element?
Well, the report, it also talks about cognitive biases and how they can impact cybersecurity.
Cognitive biases.
Yeah, these are basically mental shortcuts that our brains take to process information quickly. And while they're usually helpful in everyday life, they can make us vulnerable to attacks.
Give me an example.
Okay, so let's say you get an email that appears to be from your bank. You might be more likely to click on a link in that email without thinking because you trust your bank. But the email could be fake.
So just because it looks legit doesn't mean it is.
Exactly. The report, it encourages organizations to educate their employees about these biases to help them make more informed decisions.
Okay, so we've covered social engineering, cognitive biases. What was the third thing?
Insider threats.
Yes, the enemy within.
Precisely. These are security breaches that are caused by individuals within the organization.
So disgruntled employees, spies, that sort of thing?
It could be any number of things. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's accidental. But regardless of the intent, insider threats can be extremely damaging.
So how do you protect against them?
Well, the report, it recommends a multi-layered approach. This includes things like conducting thorough background checks, implementing strong access controls, monitoring user activity, and providing security awareness training.
So basically, trust but verify.
Exactly. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground on the human element. What else is there?
My brain is full.
Mine too. But there's one more thing I wanted to touch on. Incident response.
Right, because no matter how good your defenses are, sometimes the bad guys still get through.
Exactly. And when that happens, you need to be prepared. That's where incident response comes in.
So it's not just about preventing attacks. It's about knowing what to do when they happen.
Exactly. The report, it recommends that every organization develop an incident response plan.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Well, it should outline the steps that need to be taken in the event of a security breach. Things like identifying and containing the breach, assessing the damage, notifying the relevant authorities, recovering from the attack, and learning from the incident.
So it's like a fire drill, but for cyber attacks.
Exactly. By having a plan in place and practicing it regularly, organizations can minimize the impact of a security incident and get back on their feet more quickly.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've covered a lot of ground here today. Data security, cyber resilience, the skills gap, the human element, incident response. Anything else?
Just one more thing, and it's an important one. Ethics.
Ethics in cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As cybersecurity professionals, we have a responsibility to use our knowledge and skills for good.
Right, because with great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly. The report, it talks about the importance of ethical decision-making in cybersecurity, and it provides guidance on how to navigate ethical dilemmas.
Like what? Give me an example.
Okay, so let's say you discover a vulnerability in a software program. You could exploit that vulnerability for personal gain, or you could report it to the software vendor so they can fix it.
And the ethical choice would be?
To report it, of course. Even if it means you don't get to be a cyber millionaire.
Right, because with great power.
That's great responsibility.
Exactly. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this section, from the technical aspects of data security to the importance of ethics. Anything else you want to add before we move on?
I think we've covered the most important points. The key takeaway is that cybersecurity is a complex and ever-changing field, and it requires a holistic approach.
Welcome back, Deep Divers. We're in the final stretch of our journey through the OAD 2024 report.
Ready for the home stretch.
You know, we've covered a ton of ground, from the nuts and bolts of data security to the importance of building a security-first mindset. But I feel like there's still so much to unpack, especially when it comes to the human element.
Oh, absolutely. The report, it really hammers home this point. Technology is important, sure, but it's only as strong as the people using it.
It's like having a state-of-the-art security system, but leaving your front door wide open.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
The report, it really emphasizes this whole thing about cybersecurity awareness training, and not just for the tech whizzes, but for everyone in the organization.
Right, because we're all potential targets, right?
Absolutely. Every single person who touches a keyboard, clicks a link, opens an email, they're on the front line.
So what does good cybersecurity awareness training even look like? Is it just those boring PowerPoint presentations once a year everyone tunes out?
No way. That's a recipe for disaster. The report, it stresses that effective training, it's got to be engaging, interactive, and most importantly, relevant to what people actually do every day.
So less theory, more real-world application.
Exactly. Simulations, for example, are super effective. You can stage a fake phishing attack, show people how easy it is to fall for these scams.
Oh, I like that. Put their skills to the test.
Exactly. Yeah. Or create interactive quizzes, games, make it fun. The key is to keep people engaged. Make it memorable.
Gamify it. I'm all about that.
And don't be afraid to mix things up. Online modules, in-person workshops, videos, even those cheesy security awareness posters, they all have their place.
Right, gotta cater to all those learning styles. And this training, it's not a one-and-done thing, right?
Nope. The threat landscape, it's constantly changing. New threats pop up all the time. Training has to be an ongoing process. Regular refreshers, updates on the latest scams, it all adds up.
Stay vigilant, stay informed. Got it.
Now, speaking of communication, the report, it also really stresses how important it is to communicate effectively about cybersecurity risks. And not just among the techies, but across the entire organization.
Right, because cybersecurity, it's not just an IT problem, it's a business problem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The report, it highlights this need to effectively communicate with everyone. Senior management, the board, employees at all levels, even customers and partners.
So how do you do that? How do you talk about complex technical stuff in a way that everyone understands?
Well, the report, it gives some really practical advice, like use plain language. Ditch the technical jargon. Provide concrete examples, real-world scenarios.
Make it relatable.
Exactly. And most importantly, focus on the business impact. Explain how cybersecurity risks can affect the bottom line.
Because money talks, right.
Exactly. And don't forget, communication is a two-way street. It's not enough to just talk at people. You need to listen to their concerns, address their questions.
Create that open dialogue. Okay, so we've talked about awareness training, communication. Anything else that really jumped out at you from the report?
You know, there's this one section on physical security that I thought was really interesting.
Physical security? You mean like locks and alarms?
Exactly. It's easy to get so caught up in the digital world that we forget about the physical world.
Right, because cyber attacks, they don't always start online.
Precisely. Someone could gain access to your network by tailgating an employee through a secure door or by plugging an infected USB drive into a computer.
So those old school security measures, they still matter.
Absolutely. The report, it really emphasizes the importance of having strong physical security controls in place, like access control systems, surveillance cameras, security guards, visitor management procedures.
Right, all those layers of protection.
Exactly. And it's not enough to just have them. They need to be effective.
Yeah.
You also need to make sure that your physical security measures are aligned with your cybersecurity measures.
So it's all connected.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought from the report. And that's the importance of personal responsibility.
Okay. I like the sound of that. Tell me more.
Cybersecurity. It's not just the responsibility of IT departments or security professionals. It's everyone's responsibility.
We all have a role to play.
Exactly. Each and every one of us needs to be aware of the threats, take steps to protect ourselves and our organizations, and be proactive about cybersecurity.
Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together.
We are indeed.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. We hope you found this deep dive into the OAD 2024 report informative and maybe even a little bit entertaining. Big thanks to Expert Speaker for guiding us through this digital jungle.
Anytime.
Remember, knowledge is power. The more we know about cybersecurity, the better equipped we'll be to navigate this increasingly complex digital world. Until next time, stay safe out there, deep divers.